Thank you for listening to The Zesty Garden. In our next segment, it's called Going Native, and I wanted to make sure that we highlighted more native and drought-tolerant plants in the state of Utah, and we're going to kick this segment off by talking with Jeanette Warner, who's owner of Wildland Nursery in Joseph, and that's just south of Richfield. And Jeanette, thank you for coming all the way up to Logan and talking about natives.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
Well, first off, What floats your boat about native plants, native and drought-tolerant plants?
I think there's several reasons. One reason, the main reason to me, is they're different. They aren't what everybody else have in their yard.
That's exactly the kind of stuff that I like in my yard. If I see someone else with it, I'm like, I don't necessarily want that.
Right. And just like the copycat of all the houses looking the same, all the yards look the same. And they look the same across the United States, basically. And it's understandable. The pioneers came west. They brought their English heritage, and they wanted that English garden look. And it's not the Western look, and I like the Western look.
And that English garden look in this time of drought and so forth, just it doesn't work so well because those English gardens just want to soak up the water.
Yeah, that's right. And then the other reasons. You know, I have three reasons why I will pick a plant. And, of course, it has to be appealing. It has to look nice. But it also has to have year-round interest. It has to look good most of the year. And the second reason is I like to think that it's a beneficial somehow. It's not only pretty, but it provides food and cover for wildlife. And by wildlife, I don't necessarily mean the deer, the bear, the elk. I mean the pollinators, the butterflies and the bees, and the songbirds, the migrating songbirds.
So Western garden look, year-round interest, and beneficial.
Beneficial, yes.
Okay. One of the things that I want to make sure that our audience understands is that when you talk about native and drought-tolerant plants, for many, it triggers an Arizona-type landscape where it's lots of rocks and cactus, and nothing could be further from the truth.
That's right. And sadly, to me, there's a lot of that look coming into our state. And they think that that's native, and, you know, okay, it is native, and it is drought-tolerant, but it is also desert, and there's so many plants here that are very drought-tolerant and are beautiful, but they don't look like Arizona. They're not cactus. There's a native plant garden besides cactus and yucca.
And cactus, I love cactus, but I think that should only be one part of the landscape, not the whole landscape.
Not the whole landscape, exactly right.
So let's start talking about some of these plants. So each segment of Going Native will talk about one particular variety of plant that you can grow in your own garden and have great success with. They're should be readily available. You can find them at local growers, or if you can't find them there, going on the internet. But you should be able to find them. And the first one that we're going to talk about is the Alpine Penstemon. So why is this not necessarily number one, but the first one that we're going to talk about today?
I like it extremely well because it is so early in the spring when, you know, in the spring, March comes, everything is kind of dreary, the snow is gone, and the plants haven't really started to grow yet. This one is growing and flowering, and it does naturally grow at the higher elevations, but here in the valley, it starts to bloom around the middle to the end of March, and the bees, the early honey bees, the native bees, they really swarm to it.
What color are we talking about?
Sky blue, a really pretty bright blue. And the other reason I like it is when it gets through blooming, the leaves form this nice mat, so it makes an excellent ground cover. And it's mostly reasonably drought tolerant. In my yard, if it can't go without watering like once every 2 weeks, I don't consider it drought tolerant. And it's a great plant in a dry shade area. People are looking for plants for dry shade.
Oh.
It's great for that.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up because I've got a tree that covers my house and my garage, and there's a space between the two that is exactly dry shade. And I'm always wondering, what can I put in there?
And that's really good.
And so how tall does it get? You said it was a ground cover. Can be a ground cover?
It can be a ground cover. The flowers are anywhere from 6 to 8 inches tall.
Okay.
And it does make a nice, once it's established and is spread out, it makes a really attractive ground cover. You know, kind of resembling, you know what a juga looks like?
Mm-hmm.
It's something like that.
And the color of the leaves?
Bright,
green?
Bright green.
Okay.
Bright green, very showy.
And what happens in the fall?
I think mostly that I don't get a lot of snow where I am in the wintertime. We don't get snow cover. And so the leaves are, they just stay there and they're green, and they finally, like December or something, they will disappear.
So they stay on quite a while.
They do.
Mm-hmm. As far as we've talked about water, shade, what kind of soil should it be in? So it's an alpine flower. Will it do okay in a lot of areas of the state have this kind of a clay soil?
Right. I always term it average soil.
Okay.
Because I don't think there's such a thing as well-drained soil in Utah unless you're on a road cut up the canyon or something like that. So if you just kind of lighten the soil, work it up. If you have sandy soil, maybe add some compost. Well-rotted compost is good. But they tolerate the alkaline soil, which is what we have here throughout most of the state.
Well, and your soil, I think, in Joseph is even a little bit more alkaline than what I have up here in Hyde Park. So if it's growing there, it should do well.
Right.
Well, here
and,
as well.
And we call it dry clay. So, you know, clay soil holds the moisture a lot longer than sand. So you have to just be careful not to overwater it.
And so dry. That's why dry shade would work. Anything else that you would like to point out about this flower? Sounds wonderful. This light color blue. And how much sun will it take?
Partial sun. At the higher elevation where it grows in full sun. But at that higher elevation, it's cooler and it gets more moisture. So you take that higher elevation and bring it down where it's warmer, then it does need some shade.
So if you put it in an area that gets a lot of regular watering because of a sprinkling system, would it do okay in a sun location at that point?
Yes, right.
Okay.
And I should point out, too, like most penstemons, it's deer and rabbit resistant, which doesn't mean that they're not going to eat it, but it might be the last thing in the garden that they eat. How's so that?
If you've got a tulip right next to it, they're going to eat the tulip.
That's right, yeah.
So is the alpine penstemon an annual or a perennial? In fact, all of the plants we'll be talking about, I'm assuming, will be perennial.
Yes, all the plants will be are perennial, yes.
Okay. And any special things that we need to do to help it through the winter?
Well, what they've, whoever it is that does this research, they have found that it is better to trim back your perennials in the spring instead of in the fall. When I first started gardening, it was to go out in the fall, trim everything back, and have it really neat and tidy for the winter, right? But now they've decided that it helps the plant go dormant if you leave those stalks on. And another benefit to leaving the seed stalks on, the birds can eat the seeds during the wintertime. The only drawback to that is if you don't want them plants coming up everywhere next spring, which natives do. Some natives reseed readily.
And is this one of those?
No.
Okay. So if you were to, and I'm thinking in general for penstemons, if you deadhead a penstemon back, does it produce more blossoms?
Some of them do. Most of them will do it sporadically, not like their first flush in the spring, but some of them will rebloom a little bit.
Okay.
And the alpine penstemon is a great one for rock gardens. If you have a rock garden, it's a great one for that.
Okay, great. So we've been talking about the alpine penstemon in this segment of Going Native. And Jeanette Warner has been my guest. She's owner of Wildland Nursery just south of Richfield in Joseph. Jeanette, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.